Ladies and gentlemen, as we're going through a bit of turbulence, the captain has illuminated the seatbelt signs. We do ask that you return to your seats, fasten your seatbelts, and please do not use the lavatory. Thank you.
Mad Money Machine. Show 72. End of July.
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to the Mad Money Machine. If you are flying all Equity Airlines, please remain in your seats. This flight is going to be bumpy. If the oxygen mask should drop down above your seat, please take care of yourself first and then take care of your children. And if you feel the need, please make use of the little bag found in the seat pocket in front of you. The Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, and I'll talk a little bit more later in the show about why I'm so proud about that. We'll also talk about Kramer's ratings. We'll talk about Seinfeld's motivation secrets. We'll talk about Guitar Hero 2. We'll talk about tax loss selling and a lot more. What a week that was, huh? And I'm glad that one's behind us. I hope that's the one we talk about years from now, saying, you remember back in July 2007 when the market took that big drop? Volatility is what it's all about. Turbulence and the VIX. Yeah, the VIX. VIX, Victor Indigo X-Ray, is the ticker symbol for the Chicago Board Options Exchange Volatility Index, a popular measure of the implied volatility of the S&P 500 index options, referred to by some as the Fear Index. It represents one measure of the market's expectation of volatility over the next 30-day period. Well, I remember jumping Jimmy C talking about in his trading software, he'd have the VIX up in one corner of the screen just to see the level of activity in the market. And of course, if you're an active trader, you're going to want to keep good close tabs on that old VIX because, you know, if the VIX gets above 20 and the volatility reading measures high, therefore, and the volume then drops down below 10 on the volumetric scale, then you know you're going to be entering the age of Aquarius and therefore it's a good time to buy stocks, right? Nah, but seriously, the VIX is currently at about 21.5, which is the high that it's been for certainly over the past 1 year. I'm looking back, there was a point in June of 2006 where it crossed above 22, but it has mostly been between 10 and 12 for the latter half of 2006, and it's mostly been between 12 and 18 or even 16 for the first part of 2007. The VIX has spiked up. Where will it go from here? Nobody knows. And if you're invested properly, nobody cares. And before I get any deeper into the show, I want to say a big thank you, listeners, for nominating the Mad Money Machine once again in the Best Business Podcast category out at the Podcast Awards website. It means a lot to know that you care enough to click on the vote button for this show. I thank you so very much for that. Well, according to the New York Post, the ratings for this TV show, Mad Money. Have you ever seen that show? There's a show on CNBC. It's got this guy named Jim Cramer, and he talks about stocks and things. Well, according to the Post, the good news for CNBC's Jim Cramer is that, by his own estimation, fewer people hate him today than hated him at the beginning of last summer. Let us explain. Mad Money, in its first 2 years on the cable station, was one of CNBC's biggest hits. It was the only reason folks tuned in after market hours, so much so that the brass scheduled him 3 times a day. Cramer got so much ink from his success that, he wrote recently, people started to hate him for it. In fact, Cramer wrote in the June 4th issue of New York Magazine, quote, "For every person who likes what I do, there are a dozen who hate me for it." Well, if Jim's correct, a glimpse at the latest ratings book, which shows a 39% drop in the audience for the 6 p.m. show. Far fewer people like him, which means far fewer people hate him, right? The folks at Nielsen report that Kramer's 6 p.m. show attracted an average of just 57,000 viewers. That's not helping Fast Money, CNBC's 8 p.m. show, which saw ratings tumble 57% to 56,000 viewers. Nielsen only monitors shows that draw a minimum of 51,000 viewers. Under that, and it's a scratch. Oh my goodness. Well, Mad Money Machine is quickly catching up to Mad Money, it looks like. It says, while Kramer is surely rooting against such a scratch, just think of how many fewer investors hate him should that happen. Article by Richard Wilner at New York Post. And another indicator is that the popular forum that used to be called KramersMadMoney.com, you remember that forum where you could go out and talk about the Jim Cramer show real passionately? KramersMadMoney.com. Well, if you go there now, it redirects you to a site called OnlineTradersForum.com. There is no more KramersMadMoney.com. Sometimes the stock trading fads come and go, but investing remains the same. All right, I'll talk a little bit about my own financial endeavors over the course of the past week. I did make some trades in the market this past week. Now, this is coming from the index investing person, right? The guy that says set it and forget it. The guy that says set it and forget it made some trades? What's that all about? Why? Why in the world would you make trades? Well, here's the deal. Back in February, March time frame, I was allocating some cash into the market. And so at that time, my portfolio, I needed to fill some gaps in some REITs and in some small cap value index funds. And so I bought the VBR, which is the Vanguard Small Cap Value Index Fund. And I bought something called, and it's not quite a true REIT. It's an international real estate fund. The RWX is the ETF ticker symbol for that, RWX. International real estate fund. Well, of course, since the time I bought those, up until this past week, those things had dropped about 6% from my initial investment. All right. So what did I do? Those were invested in a taxable account now. If they were in a retirement plan account, this would not apply. I did take some tax loss selling on those two funds. So the deal is, here's what the deal is on that. I get to apply those losses to some capital gains that I may have taken in this year on my tax return next year. That will help offset some of the taxes that I might have to pay on capital gains. And since my portfolio is not completely down to the 10th of a percent balanced around any one fund, I bought a different fund that I needed to bulk up some more on, which was the DLS. That's the International Small Cap Value, or the International Value Fund. And so I sold those two funds and rolled it into that one fund for now. And when it time comes for me to invest some more cash in the market, I'll look at where my portfolio is out of balance and I'll put some more money there. And hopefully, I won't have to do this too many times. Hopefully, I'll get to a point where I'm investing at the bottom at some point and the things will keep going up. But that's just one little trick that you can use to help save yourself a little bit of taxes, is what they call tax loss harvesting. And I'll make a prediction right here and right now. And my prediction is, you know, the S&P 500 index is currently sitting at about 1,457 today. Let's just say that's the number. 1,457. It was above 1,500 and then dipped back down, of course, after this past week. Well, my prediction is that this S&P 500 will cross above 6,000. 1,791 by the year 2027. So mark it on your calendar, S&P 500 index, 6,791 before the year 2027. Did you watch the World Series of Video Games on CBS this past weekend? I didn't actually watch it, but of course I Googled it and I found some links to videos on the internet, which I'll have a link to in the show notes for this show. And you can see some of the top performers in the world competing, playing Guitar Hero 2. And there's a guy named Freddy, who I think also has some videos out at YouTube. And he is the star performer. He took top honors in the Guitar Hero 2 competition. He didn't play the hardest songs technically, but he did have the showmanship to make up for it. Now, one other guy, the Priest was his nickname. He played the technically hardest song, and of course the longest song, Free Bird. Played it very well, but wasn't quite enough of the showman to take top honors at the World Series of Video Games. It must take a lot of practice to play that well. It's tool time. Well, the other day I got up in the middle of the night and didn't have anything particularly that I wanted to read or do, so I got on the web, and there wasn't anything in particular on the web I wanted to read, so I found myself wandering over to dig.com, D-I-G-G, just to see what was up. What's the newest things? What's happening out there? What are people talking about? And one of the top stories was the motivational tips from comedian Jerry Seinfeld. And there was a blog entry at lifehacker.com. Software developer Brad Isaac told me he had productivity advice from Jerry Seinfeld, and they couldn't turn down the chance to hear more. So here is Brad's story. He said, years ago, when Seinfeld was a new television show, Jerry was still a touring comic. At the time, I was hanging around clubs doing open mic nights and trying to learn the ropes. One night, I was in the club where Seinfeld was working, and before he went on stage, I saw my chance. I had to ask Seinfeld if he had any tips for a young comic. What he told me was something that would benefit me a lifetime. He said the way to be a better comic was to create better jokes, and the way to create better jokes was to write every day. But his advice was better than that. He had a gem of a leverage technique he used on himself, and you can use it to motivate yourself even when you don't feel like it. He then revealed a unique calendar system he was using to pressure himself to write. Here's how it worked. He told me to get a big wall calendar that has a whole year on one page and hang it on a prominent wall. The next step was to get a big red magic marker. He said for each day that I do my task of writing, I get to put a big red X over that day. Quote, after a few days, you'll have a chain. Just keep at it and the chain will grow longer every day. You'll like seeing that chain, especially when you get a few weeks under your belt. Your only job next is to not break the chain. Don't break the chain, he said again for emphasis. Over the years, I've used this technique in many different areas. I've used it for exercise, to learn programming, to learn network administration, to build successful websites, and build successful businesses, says Brad. It works because it isn't the one-shot pushes that gets us to where we want to go. It's the consistent daily action that builds extraordinary outcomes. You may have heard the inch by inch, it's a cinch. Inch by inch does work if you can move an inch every day. Daily action builds habits. It gives you practice and will make you an expert in a short time. If you don't break the chain, you'll start to spot opportunities you otherwise wouldn't. Small improvements accumulate into large improvements rapidly because daily action provides compounding interest. Skipping one day makes it easier to skip the next. I've often said I'd rather have someone who will take action, even if small, every day, as opposed to someone who swings hard once or twice a week. Seinfeld understands that daily action yields greater benefits than sitting down and trying to knock out 1,000 jokes in one day. Think for a moment about what action would make the most profound impact in your life if you worked it every day. That's the action I recommend you put on your Seinfeld calendar. Start today and earn your big red X. And from here on out, don't break the chain. Well, I thought that was just a fantastic article and advice from Lifehacker. And in fact, I think in a sense, I'm using this technique with this Nike Plus iPod running shoe system that I've talked about a few times on the show. You know how on my website you can see the daily running or walking sometimes exercises that I've done, and I'm trying not to break the chain of doing it every single day. Try it on that habit that you want to make. There's something new at Index Funds Advisors, IFA.com. Now, when you take the Risk Capacity Survey, you'll get a free copy of the ebook Index Funds 12-Step Program for Active Investors. And as I understand it, it is newly updated with the most current information available to them. What a fantastic offer this is, because not only do you get to take the Risk Capacity Survey and find out what's the best portfolio for your risk investments, but also you can learn more about index investing and why it's the best thing to do. Well, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, why do I keep on talking about Index Funds Advisors so much? Is this the Index Funds Advisor show or something? Let's take a caller on the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763.
Hey, Paul, this is Brandon down in San Antonio, Texas, and I just got through listening to your show about silent partners. And you talk about, you know, all the different commissions and things that everybody makes on actively managed funds, as well as Uncle Sam. And so I just thought it would be good for you to maybe reiterate your show a little bit and some of the advice that you're giving your listeners, including myself, about, you know, opinions and how they might be persuaded by commission. And just so that we better understand how you might be persuaded as far as IFA being your sponsor. If I understand it correctly, you actually, they cover the expenses maybe to produce the show. Don't know that if you are or are not making additional money or revenue from IFA on top of what it costs to actually produce the show. It sounds like listen to you for a little while. It sounds like it's more a hobby and you're just wanting to share the information, but I just thought it'd be good maybe just to get some more clarification on that at that point right there, since that's some of the stuff you're talking about quite a bit in that show. So anyway, doing a great job. I really enjoy listening to your show. Again, you've opened my eyes to different approaches to investing, and certainly done a lot of research, and probably going to start leaning more towards the next investing because of your efforts. So I appreciate that. You're doing great. Take care. Bye.
Oh, I appreciate the call, Brandon. Yes, that's probably the nicest way of asking the question. Aren't you just a shill for IFA? Don't you work for IFA or something? And you're just talking about a company that you work for. Or you're just talking about them because they're your sponsor. Well, let me give you a little history about the Mad Money Machine. Those of you who are new to the show and haven't been listening since show MMM-01. I started this show in December of 2005. As a kind of a fan site for Jim Cramer's Mad Money. I watched his show every single day. I would take notes on his show. I would look at his stock picks, and I did actually invest my own money in the stock market, sometimes just based on Jim's recommendations. Sometimes I actually did the homework, like he says that you should do on a stock. And over the course of doing the show, I did a lot more reading and research and investing, and I read books by William Bernstein and Bogle and many, many others. And I finally, I did come across the book Index Funds, a 12-Step Program for Active Investors. And the tool in the crib that I used on show 23 was from Index Funds Advisors. And it's just that I came across it, and I found it a very interesting website that talked about the ways to truly invest the right way. And sometime shortly after I featured that tool on my show, I got a call from President of Index Funds Advisors, Mark Hebner, and he said, Paul, I like what you did on the show. I appreciate you mentioning us. And if there's anything we can do for you in the future, give us a call. And I kept that in mind. And then over the course of another few weeks, he said, Paul, you know what? I'd like to sponsor your show. And he just mentioned that out of the blue. And I said, well, thank you very much. And from then on, they've been a sponsor of this show. And of course, I've gotten more and more intimate with their materials and learning a lot more about what they're doing. I am not an employee of Index Funds Advisors. I am doing this as a hobby, and they are sponsoring this show. And they also sponsor the Portfolio Smackdown, as you notice, because I'm comparing the picks of the board of directors against the Index Folio 100, which in actuality is hard to beat, because you remember the show on the lazy portfolios? It's number two against Ted Ronson's portfolio, which was heavily weighted towards emerging markets, which means it's probably a higher risk portfolio than the one from Index Funds Advisors. But getting back to the point. Yes, indeed, I do feature Index Funds Advisors in this show. They are a key sponsor of this show. I can tell you that I would not take sponsorship from some active trading software place, because I don't believe that's the right way to go. I would not take sponsorship unless I truly believed in the product. I guarantee you that that is the case, and I truly, truly, truly believe in the product at Index Funds Advisors. People oftentimes also call me and say, Paul, do you talk about expenses and commissions and how it's such a bad thing? But yet here Index Funds Advisors is charging a fee on top of their amounts invested. And I say, well, you get what you pay for. If you want to invest on your own, well, then good luck. You know, go at it. Try it. The other thing about investing with Index Funds Advisors is you are able to get into this class of index mutual funds from Dimensional Fund Advisors. I think they've got a scientific-based approach to investing in risk. And I really like what they're doing out there. And so, also, you get not only the ability to invest in DFA funds through Index Funds Advisors, but you get advice. You get advice from Index Funds Advisors. They're there to help you understand what your risk is, and they're there to help you invest it in the right portfolio. They'll know what your future needs are for your investments. When do you need to pull it out? What's the best tax strategy, perhaps, for investing in this versus that? Or should we put this in a 401k, or this in an IRA, or this in a taxable account? You know, some people like to mow their own lawn. Some people like to hire it out. Some people like to install their own dishwasher. Some people like to have it installed for them. Some people like to invest in their own portfolios their own way. Some people like to have professional help. And I can't think of any better professional help than those folks at Index Funds Advisors. I thank you for the call, Brandon, and I hope that I've answered your question. If not, just give me a call back in Madam Machine voicemail line, 206-734-4763. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes staying in your seat to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com. Take their risk capacity survey and get that free ebook. Give me a call on the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763, or email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com, or check out the website madmoneymachine.com.
My friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
All right. You're great, zombie. And good times here at the Waterfront Village, open for the next 11 days.